Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's it like to be an ear, nose, and throat surgeon? Let's go in-depth with Dr. Joe Whitman with the Pella Regional Health Center. Dr. Whitman, where are you from?
I grew up in Lisbon, Iowa, eastern Iowa, small town of Lisbon, over on Highway 30, just north of Iowa City and east of Cedar Rapids, about 20 minutes to each one of those cities.
Small town.
Small town, Iowa.
Did you have a role model there that made you want to go into medicine?
No. Role models were there. Were just great coaches and wonderful people, and didn't really figure out what I wanted to do until I was halfway through undergraduate college. I played college golf, and I had to get a physical. And my primary care physician asked me, well, what are you doing with your life? And I said, well, I've been studying nursing, and I think I want to go be a nurse anesthetist to provide anesthesia. And he said, you should just go be an anesthesiologist. My dad's one. You should just do it. So the next day, I went into my advisor's office and switched to pre-med, and that was it.
So just a chance encounter and
yep.
and just one question changed your...
Yeah, it really did. You know, I was a hyper-competitive person on the field. My dad's a great athlete. My brother's a football coach. And that transition of that conversation went from being a competitor on the field to a competitor in the classroom. I was an average student at best, and that physician just kind of saw something in me and made a comment that he thought was an encouragement, and it was a huge life-changing event in my life. And the first test I took after that moment was a very difficult physiology test, and I scored, I think, top out of 300 kids or something like that. And I got a taste of real success in the classroom, and then I just loved learning and met some great people along the way that were mentors, that were current medical students through a Bible study, and then it just kind of fell into place, and I became a physician.
Well, that's pretty cool. What a great story. Mm-hmm. And so what that does is it should make all of us now want to go and offer some encouraging words to other people.
Teachers have such a huge role. I mean, like you were saying, you're a PhD in anthropology, and I'm sure you've met some amazing people in your life. I mean, my grandmother taught me in the same fifth grade classroom that she taught my dad in. She was a teacher for, I don't know, 40 years maybe. My brother's a teacher. I've got cousins that are teachers. And being in, you know, residency training in the past and mentoring, you know, younger medical students and just encouraging them. And you never know where that light may shine or that you're finding the person that that sprinkles that special, you know, growth on that seed that's been planted by somebody in the past. And, yeah, it's just a neat moment. And my parents didn't go to college. My brother and I were the first to go to college. And it just happened that way.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Joe Whitman with the Pella Regional Health Center. And where'd you go to college and then medical school?
Mm-hmm. I started at the University of Iowa. I wanted to play golf there, but I was not good enough. And then I transferred to Mount Mercy College and got a degree in biology and a minor in chemistry. And then I did some work at an internship at Mayo Clinic and really enjoyed that and thought, okay, do I want to go be a PhD or do I want to see patients type of thing? And so I got my master's degree in Missouri at A.T. Still University in Northeast Missouri. And then ended up going to DO school there at the Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine and graduated there in 13. And then did residency training after that for 5 years.
Where?
There as well as down in Springfield, Missouri, Indianapolis, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I had to travel quite a bit for my residency training.
Which was probably good.
It was great. You get to experience a lot of different views, not just views from different surgeons, but also different specialties. Worked with hundreds of different surgeons, you know, in different belief systems, different areas. It was just great to be on the East Coast and be in small town Missouri and also be in Indianapolis in the center of the Midwest and really gather as much data as you can and learn from everybody as much as you can.
And you're an ear, nose, and throat specialist.
Yep. So I graduated med school, did my 5 years of ear, nose, and throat surgery residency training, and then my wife and I wanted to move back to Iowa. We were high school sweethearts. You know, we've got 4 children, and we've been married for 16 years this summer. So the plan was always to come back home and just do what I can to take care of people's needs in the same area type of rural Iowa that I grew up in.
Okay, and so ear, nose, and throat are all combined because they're an integrated system. I mean, the whole body's integrated, but ear, nose, and throat is more integrated than most.
Yep, so exactly. I mean, you're talking about things that I do, ear tubes for kids, ear surgeries for kids and adults, clinic evaluation and management of those concerns. You're talking about nasal problems, nasal surgery for nasal congestion or recurrent sinus infections, broken noses, things like that for nasal problems. Throat issues, whether it's kids that need their tonsils out, biopsying throat cancers, or doing surgeries in the mouth, taking scopes in the clinic and looking down at people's voice boxes, making sure that there's no cancers or lesions there, if they have hoarseness, neck masses. I'm really isolated to the head and neck region. And I loved that, you know, where I just told people I'm not smart enough to see everything and know everything about everything. But if I can focus on an area from your shoulders to the top of your head and be a specialist in that area, I love that. I love to be able to just focus on those concerns. And the really cool thing about ENT surgery is that you can do that on a broad array of people, whether it's a newborn that comes into you for a tongue tie that you clip their frenulum, or a 8-month-old that needs a set of tubes, or a 98-year-old that's got a skin cancer that requires flap repair on the face. I see that every single day. And it's really neat.
And it involves 4 of our 5 senses.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Whether it's people have ringing in their ears or hearing loss, you know, a lot of farmers will come in, gosh, I can't hear anymore, or I've got ringing going on, how can you help? And those guys might have skin cancers too on their ears or forehead because they've been out in the sun for the last 86 years or something like that. So it's just, it's focused, it's head and neck area, but it's also very broad, and it's a broad range of ages, which is really fun for me to be able to see kids and also elderly and adults our age. It's just kind of a nice variety of options.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Dr. Joe Whitman with the Pella Regional Health Center. What do you think the biggest challenge that you face is?
You know, being in rural Iowa, growing up, we know what it's like, my wife and I, to be in small-town Iowa. We love it. We think raising a family in small-town Iowa is the best that you can do anywhere. The values that people have, they want better life for their children and grandchildren than they had for them. And that's very evident in rural Iowa. So we wanted to raise our family in that environment. To be an ear, nose, and throat specialist in that environment takes a special set of priorities. You know, I was lucky to train in that kind of environment alongside many surgeons who had that mentality. And you have to kind of hold the bar very high. You know, if you're living amongst your patients in small town Iowa that you're taking care of, you can't cut corners. You know, you have to be providing the best possible care as possible all the time, because you're going to see these people at Walmart, or you're going to see them at the hospital, or you're going to see them at the basketball game, or when I'm coaching soccer or baseball or football or whatever youth sports that we're involved in. And I like to be held to that standard personally, but also by my patients, because it's I think we should all hold ourselves to that standard, but it is a challenge. Another challenge is it's hard to find people that want to do that and live in that environment and work in rural Iowa and do that kind of care. So that requires me to set up my schedule certain ways so that I'm available. And for example, I had a tonsillectomy this morning down here in Pella. You know, I will be available for 2 weeks following that surgery to make sure everything is okay with that patient, because if day 7 or 10 comes along and there's a problem, I don't want to be out in Okoboji ice fishing or, you know, boating down in the Ozarks or something like that. I'd love to do those things, but my schedule has to align with those patients. And if I'm going to do those things, I have to schedule and plan accordingly. And my patients understand that. My staff understands that. I do as well. So that's a challenge, but it's the priority that I have. And I just do everything I can to meet those expectations for the patients, but also the desires I have for my personal life with my family. And it can be done. It's not easy. But it's a joy to take care of people that you live amongst.
Is it because you want to be there for the whole thing? Is it because of your competitive nature that you want to close that circle? You don't want somebody else stepping in?
No. It's just that I want to make sure that I'm available if there's a complication. So, for example, bleeding risks for patients who've had tonsils are, you know, 10 to 14 days. So I want to make sure I'm available, because I'd feel bad if I was gone, something happened, and then that parent had to somehow get a shipment from an ambulance over to Des Moines or Iowa City. And I think if you're going to do something for somebody, you should kind of take care of it.
Well, that attitude, I know it's not everywhere. Mm-hmm. That it's just not. Not to say bad things about any, you know, physicians, doctors, nurses, anybody, anywhere, but there's something that you said about people in your community, that you're treating them, and it's a different kind of thing.
Yeah, it is, and I love analogies. My wife would laugh at that, but I tell everybody, look at your door in your house or anybody's house, and look at the joint that comes together of the molding at that top, and any good carpenter can make a great joint, and it's going to look really good. But if you look at everybody's house, you're inevitably going to find some of those 45-degree molds that come together, and there's gaps there because that cut wasn't made just right. And that's just attention to detail. And I'm just very driven when it comes to detail-oriented things like that. And when you start cutting corners, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to find yourself doing many carpentry jobs if you're the one putting a product out there like that. So I share with that, you know, those analogies with patients like that. And I just believe that it's just you go that extra mile and you do that extra thing that you know you should be doing anyway. I do that for the patient, yes, but I also do that because at the end of every day, regardless of what the outcomes are, if I can go home and look at myself in the mirror and know that I did everything I could to the best of my ability, then I'll let the chips fall where they may. And if I do that for a career, I think I can help a lot of people and really be thankful for the things that I've been able to do and accomplish the goals that I have.
In the community, what are we doing wrong with respect to our ears, nose, and throat? I mean, what do you think? I wish people would quit doing X.
I mean, that's a broad question. I think a lot of people do the right things. I think if people, you know, like I just got done seeing a patient for a hearing related issue. You know, I think if people just show love and compassion and care for their neighbors, for their children, for themselves, for their, you know, their family members and loved ones, then they'll seek that care when something's wrong. You know, if you've ever seen a patient be neglected for something, that breaks your heart. But I don't think that's a systemic issue in rural Iowa at all. I would say one thing, just quit smoking. I mean, I love talking to people about quitting smoking. I've been very successful for 3 years. I've probably got 18 or 20 patients that have quit because my grandma was a smoker. And whenever I walk into that room, I can smell her and it takes me back to those moments when I was a kid around her. And I share that with patients. I'm genuine about that. And I tell them, you know, I miss her. And she was a great woman. And she always loved to smoke. And you're always going to love to smoke. And you're always going to want to do it. But you got to find those priorities to quit, because it's not good for you. It's not good for your child. It's not good for anybody around you. And patients understand that. But I think it does help when you come at them with a genuine care and experience from my own personal life with the relationship that I had with awesome grandma that loved to smoke and died of smoking.
Is there something special about working with children?
Yeah, it's an awesome privilege. I mean, I would say, is there something special about being a parent? Yeah, it's an awesome privilege, right? I've got four kids of my own, and every time I do surgery on a child, it's just my child. I mean, that child belongs to me, and it's one of my four kids, and that's kind of how I practice my medicine. You know, it's an extension. This is an extension of my brother or my uncle or my cousin or my grandma or whatever. And I do the same thing with kids. And it's just a huge, I don't know it's how to describe it really. It's just an amazing feeling to be there taking care of a child, operating on a child, walking into the room afterwards and telling mom and dad, hey, thumbs up, everything's going great. On the flip side, it's challenging when things don't go great. It really is. Those are difficult conversations, and that's when you have to just extend as much grace as you can and be there for that patient. I had a patient that, it's probably close to a year ago, that had to be transferred for a very simple procedure to Des Moines, and they did great care on that kiddo, and she did fantastic. But I rounded every morning on her. I drove from Grinnell out to Des Moines and saw her, and I know mom and dad really appreciated that. It helped me, and that's just that extra grace you've got to go. And she just required a ton of my time, and I think that she deserved every bit of it. So every case is that serious to me, and it's a huge responsibility, but it's a wonderful privilege. It's an amazing feeling too when you get the opportunity to help somebody in need, especially when it's a child who needs it.
Thanks to Dr. Whitman for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.